A Category 5 hurricane can sustain winds for up to 156 miles an hour. And it can do that for several hours. If the power of the winds of a hurricane are not enough, then there is the power of the storm surge. Some storm surges have been known to reach 20 foot. A 20 foot swell of water above sea level coming to the coastline. This will flood the area. It will destroy homes. It will destroy marinas. It will destroy buildings. It will wash away roads. It will destroy the vegetation. It will destroy your ability to earn money. I have a customer who is from Florida, and they said that they lived there for 3 years, or 20 years, and in those 20 years, they had to move 3 different times because of a hurricane. And they told me it's expensive. They said people don't leave. The reason why people don't leave is because they can't afford it. But the people who can afford it do leave and evacuate the areas. Hurricanes are very powerful and destructive. An EF5 tornado can have winds that reach 262 miles an hour and greater. The winds of an EF5 tornado are so devastating, they can destroy a whole town. And if we remember May 25th, 2008, we remember Parkersburg, a town that was destroyed, and a path of homes that was completely leveled. There was nothing. What an amazing, powerful event. Being a Navy man, I was thinking about other things that were powerful. So the first thing that came to my mind was something that we saw a couple of winters ago in San Pedro, California. The USS Iowa. Probably one of the most powerful things I have ever seen in my life and been upon. Fully loaded, the displacement of the USS Iowa and its class of battleships are 57,000 tons. They're 887 feet long. They're 108 feet wide. The draft, meaning from sea level to the bottom of the keel, is 37 feet. 37 feet. The Iowa class battleships have four boilers. They have four shafts and four propellers. Just even thinking about the pressure and the power that steam boilers can present is an amazing thing all of in itself. But each one of these engines, shafts, and propellers produce 53,000 horsepower. Combined, it's 212 horsepower to move this heavy vessel through the ocean. Maybe that doesn't impress you. Well, maybe her 16-inch guns will. They are a marvel in themselves. She has three turrets with 9 on each turret. These guns can hurl a projectile. The lightest projectile, which is the armor-piercing projectile, is 1,900 pounds. That's the weight of some of our cars. And some of the heavier projectiles could be up to 2,700 pounds, which would be like a truck. not only is this thing heavy, but it can shoot it 23 miles. That's impressive. That's a lot of power. That's a lot of gunpowder. That's a lot of cool engineering. At the muzzle, the velocity of the projectile can reach 2,690 feet per second. That's moving. Impressed with the power? Humans have been impressed with power and big things since biblical times. Let us think back about the Tower of Babel. Nimrod wanted to show how powerful of a leader he was. And he wanted this big, huge tower. And he was going to be the one who was going to make this happen. Because he wanted the power from the people that they would worship him as a god. What about physical power? Human stature? In 1 Samuel 17, we find this. And this man struck fear in the Israelites. This man's name was Goliath. The Bible says that he stood 6 cubits and a span. 6 cubits and a span. That's 9'6". That's a big man. Think he could dunk? He'd be a good basketball player, right? The Philistines really thought they had something here. A giant who could pummel any challenger. They thought they were unbeatable. But God had a different plan. His plan was to embarrass this godless nation. To put a boy up against this 9'6" military trained man. This was preposterous. But in God's eyes, this was just what needed to happen to show the Philistines and the world who had the power. And many times before the time of Goliath, God has always showed his power not only to the children of Israel, but to the whole world. God showed his children in the desert who was powerful when the earth swallowed up Korah, as he was trying to gain power from Moses and turn the children of Israel against him, against God. Korah wanted the power. And God swallowed them all up. Korah and his family and every one of his followers. That's power. That's power. God showed his power to the children of Israel once again, also to the Pharaoh of Egypt, when he plagued that country with those 10 horrific plagues. Yes, we as humans are impressed by power. I think it's safe to say all humans, to some degree, are obsessed with power. What is interesting is we often look to physical power, but rarely are we impressed with the most wonderful spiritual power known to man. What's interesting is that God used something physical for us that we could relate to, but spiritually made it super powerful. The most powerful thing I can think of. It is that soul cleansing power of Christ's blood. In our red book, there is a song that is titled, "There is Power in the Blood." I love the first question in this song. Would you be free of your burden of sin? Now we all know sin and its burden. The weight is heavy. It wears us down mentally and physically. It produces immobility. We can't move. We can't get out of bed. It gives us sick feelings. We feel gross inside. Now, there is no doubt, and I'm not questioning this fact at all, that there are chemical imbalances in the brain that causes depression. Science proves it. But I would suggest to you that those cases are probably rarer than you think. The way I have reasoned it, in most cases, we are depressed because we carry a burden of sin and guilty feelings that are unbearable. There are millions of people in this world who are suffering from depression because they have been convinced that there is no God. Jesus was just a prophet, and his death on the cross meant nothing. Now, I'm not a doctor, not even close. I'm a lawn guy. Who's going to listen to a lawn guy, right? And I really know nothing when it comes to mental health. But I'll tell you what I do know. I do know that the weight of sin is unbearably heavy. I do know depression. I know what it's like to want to end it all. I have stood on the edge and I have looked it square in the eye. I think our prophet Jeremiah writes it best in Lamentations chapter 3. My flesh and my skin hath made me old. He hath broken my bones. He hath made my paths crooked. He hath pulled me into pieces. He has caused the arrow of his quiver to enter my reins. He has filled me with bitterness. He has broken my teeth with gravel. That's what it feels like when you are under such a heavy burden of sin. But I've got to tell you, there's something about knowing that your sins are forgiven that make you feel lighter than air. And this knowledge gives you a joy that cannot be compared to anything else. Psalms 28 and 7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him. I'm helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to Him in song." Have you ever felt that? Where you were just so burdened down with sin, you couldn't even move. It hurt to think. It hurt to get out of bed. But once you remember to go to the Lord in prayer, did you ever feel that calming feeling? Did you ever feel that joy? Like, yes! Does your heart leap like the psalmist wrote right here in Psalms 28? Do you feel lighter than air? Of course you do. Of course you do. Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God will surpass all understanding. He'll guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's true. How many times do we let worry drag us down? How many times do we just let that burden of sin just pile on and pile on? And we forget to to go to the Lord with supplication, with requests. What is it? What is it that makes us feel that way, that helps us feel that way? It is that power that is in the blood. It is that power that is cleansing us, taking the stains off of our garments, giving us a new garment that's whiter than snow, no stains at all. I suggest to you that we as human beings completely and utterly underestimate the power that is in that blood. And it's one of those things that we base our whole faith upon, is that blood and that power that cleanses us from sin, that we need to remember. Because it's that power that produces joy in our heart. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. It is the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Revelations 5, 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy. Take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. It is that blood that has redeemed us. It is that powerful blood that took away all of it so that we could start over with a brand new slate. Very happy for the Lord's Supper today, hearing Dan speak in Colossians. Going to read it again. Chapter 1, 19 through 20. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. This verse proves that at one time we were at odds with God. We were guilty. We had crimes against God. There was no hope for us. Because in this fleshly state, there's just no way for us to redeem ourselves. But because of God's unending love for us, He made it possible to be cleaned by a powerful blood belonging to Jesus. We were reconciled. We were redeemed. And that is wonderful. Have you ever made somebody mad at you? And you try to go back and you reconcile the problem? Have you ever had the experience where they weren't listening? There was none of it. How does that make you feel? Feel pretty bad inside. But have you ever had it where you made somebody mad and you went to them and you tried to reconcile and they forgave you? Oh, what a wonderful, joyous feeling that is. You're made whole again. The relationship is made whole again. That's the same power. That's the same thing that Jesus' blood did for us. It reconciled it. We as humans can be impressed by the power of natural disasters, human engineering, or human strength. But the most amazing power is found in the blood of Jesus Christ. It is soul cleansing. It can change the world. It can save lives. This power is so powerful. It took a man and changed him from being a thorn in Jesus' side. A man who was murdering Christians. And it changed him. It changed him for the good. And with God's help, this man changed the world. He started churches in places where we would think was dumb to even try. Like Crete. There's a reason why we call people Cretans. Because the people of Crete were slothful and lazy and so far away from God. But yet, there was a church there established. And we would think, they're not going to listen. Why try? But because God restored Paul, those people are happy. This power in the blood is unmatched by any other power. It will cleanse your conscience. It will restore your hope that we can be effective Christians laboring for our God. Been thinking whether I should go over or not. But I have this thing that I've been on a soapbox lately about. And that is two words. Maybe it's three words. But you have guilt. And then you have feelings of guilt. Guilt is a legal term. It means that you are guilty of a crime, that you did something wrong. It's black and white. There's no feelings to it. Were you following the law or were you not following the law? That's guilt. And then there's the guilty feeling. Guilty feelings are tools of control. And I have talked to you several times about the passage that we find in Zechariah chapter 3, where we have God, the high priest, Joshua, and Satan. And Satan is making Joshua just feel horribly guilty. And God says to knock it off. Satan was trying to get Joshua to lose hope. Satan does that to us all the time. He doesn't want us to have hope. He wants us to feel guilty. He wants us to be controlled by our guilty feelings. And he doesn't want us to think rationally. That might be why so many people leave the church. Is because maybe they've imposed guilty feelings on themselves or feel like someone has guilted them into something. If your religion involves control of somebody due to guilty feelings, that religion is not of God. And we can all think about those types of religions that produce guilt so that their people won't fall away. It's hard not to put a guilty feeling on your kids. You want to control them. You want them to do what you tell them to do. So you throw down a guilt trip. Man, it's easy to do, but it's a bad thing to do. God's not doing that to us. God has never thrown a guilt trip down on us. Never done it. And He's not going to do it. He gives us free will. He knew that we were going to make mistakes. And He gave us an opportunity. He gave a plan. A powerful plan. That we could be redeemed. And I think that that's important for us to think about. I'll get off my soapbox. I'm sorry. If there's anyone here today that is loaded down with a burden of sin, there's only one way that that burden can be lifted. And that way is following a gospel. To follow the good news. To get rid of the old man. To be buried and resurrected in a watery grave. Being baptized. Participating in that death, burial, and resurrection that our Lord and Savior endured. That is how we get our burdens lifted. If you follow the gospel and you find yourself burdened by sin and you need a little encouragement, you're more than welcome to come forward. We'll be glad to help you. But I have something for you as well. In that very same book, very same chapter of Lamentations that I wrote about how horrible it felt to have God turned against you. In that very same chapter, starting in verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because of His great compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. Brothers and sisters, those who are outside of Christ, if that burden of sin has weighed you down, remember that power that's in the blood, and it will restore you.